that you're tuned in, and Monica's looking forward to our Youth Express Hour, which is about to happen. Did you enjoy the puzzles and games we had? We start at 6 Eastern, and stick around. Our Youth Express Hour is coming up between 10 and 11 o'clock. We have makers honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's Teen Media Awards, and also taking part in the Handmade Arcade 2025 Youth Maker Accelerator Program. Then, just after 11 Eastern, we're going to talk about It's a Wonderful Life, as staged by the Pittsburgh Savoyards, and members of the Opus 2 Orchestra will be here, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRTP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSHJ, FM Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW, LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org.
In eastern Kentucky, where I was born and raised, Friday night, Dad and all his friends got together, they would play. They had a guitar and a banjo, and the mandolin kept on. People came from miles around, and they played till morning light. Bluegrass music, man, it was moving faster than a freight train. Detroit, 1,000 miles from home. Ain't been back down to Kentucky. Lord knows it's been too long. Well, they said you can still hear the sounds from all those years gone by. Those voices ringing loud and clear up and down that mountainside. Bluegrass music, man, it was moving faster than a freight train goes. Driving down the road, I've got that bluegrass music playing on my radio.
That is a group called Kentucky Just Us, like Kentucky Justice, with bluegrass music. It's wonderful to have you here for the hour ahead. In just a moment, you're going to get to meet two siblings who are both quite creative, and they were both honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in the Teen Media Awards program, and they'll be with us shortly.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Teens interested in podcasting, writing, music, journalism, or other forms of self-expression are invited to join us for a wide range of SLB Youth Media Center programs. Activities include workshops on writing and audio recording, as well as weekly open mic nights, and open studio hours on Mondays through Thursdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Activities are free to area teens. Visit ymc.slbradio.org for details.
Thank you for being with us. It's Thanksgiving weekend. We hope you had a good holiday weekend. And if it wasn't so good, we're glad that we're able to spend some time together, and that you can rely on us to be with you regardless. Also, we know you might have company this week, or maybe you're visiting people. Thank you for keeping our tradition of being together on Saturday morning alive. Another tradition we have is showcasing talented youth in this hour of SLB. And today, it's always fun to have siblings, and in this case, they have something in common, namely, they created original works. We'll talk about those in a moment, but I'm going to ask if you could please introduce yourself, tell us perhaps where you are school-wise and your age, and if you have any shout-outs or hellos, this is the perfect time to do it. Rocco, do you want to start?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Rocco, and I currently am a freshman enrolled at Pitt. I just graduated high school last spring, so it's been a big adjustment past couple of months.
Do you have a major yet?
No, I'm still completely undecided.
It's one of the great things about Pitt is, depending on what you want to do, you can spend some time figuring it out. Are you living there or commuting?
No, I'm commuting back and forth. Saves a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, it sure does. What's been difficult about the transition, do you think? Just challenging or something you didn't expect?
You know, there's a lot less pressure and a lot more pressure at the same time. There's a lot of ways where You know, you're late to class. Oh, okay, just go in. It's not a whole, okay, you've been late four times this week. We got to send you to the office. But, you know, there's a lot of that kind of responsibility of, you know, you're holding yourself accountable instead of these outside structures holding you.
That's a great observation. So you need to regulate yourself and be responsive. It's almost like those constraints are gone. You could just blow off all your classes if you chose to. I don't think you would do that.
No,
do you have any older siblings?
No, it's just us.
So you're setting the example. is the youngest. I sort of had a sense of what to do talking with my brothers who also went to college, but that took me a bit. Any acknowledgments or hellos you'd like to say?
We got our parents out in the lobby.
Well, that's good.
I don't think we can't see them through the window, but
Aaron and Nancy, are you there? They're there. They're waving. So you know them as Mom and Dad. Well, let's go to Lucia. I'll let you do the same thing.
Hi, I'm Lucia. I go to Kappa, and I'm in 7th grade. I'm an instrumental.
And do you have any shout-outs you'd like to make?
Not really.
Now, I'm curious, just as we were talking about transitions, when did you start at Kappa?
I started at Kappa last year.
And do you have any recommendations for somebody that might be starting this year to get through that difference? Because Kappa is a different place.
Yeah, I would just say keep up on your work. Don't get behind or you'll get more behind.
Makes sense. Where did you go before Kappa?
I went to Banksville.
Okay, so Kappa is the Creating and Performing Arts High School at Pittsburgh Public Schools, middle and high school. So that's that acronym. So each of you created something out of nothing, just your brain, and in one case, a story. And in one case, music, do I have that right? And why don't we start with you, Lucia? Tell me about what you created. And I'm just really curious.
So I created a comic book. It's called Cookie and Nugget, The Origin Story. The reason it's called The Origin Story is because we had two hamsters named Cookie and Nugget. And one day in second grade, I was just kind of like, hey, what if I made them into superheroes? And so I did multiple poor grammar little books of them having multiple adventures.
And you started writing these back when you were in second grade?
I started writing in general around kindergarten.
That's amazing. And I had hamsters a lot when I was a kid, and, well, I'll just ask, are Cookie and Nugget still around?
No.
Yeah, they usually, I know mine at least, maybe 5 years at most, sometimes less than that, but they were pretty inspirational. Do you still have hamsters?
No, we have two guinea pigs named Olive and Daisy.
I loved having hamsters, but that's a whole other story. So what made you think of giving these hamsters personalities and adventures? And can you describe, like, what Cookie and Nugget were like, at least in comic form?
In comic form, Cookie was the more reasonable one, and Nugget was just kind of like the one more laid back, more chill. In the real world, Cookie was the dominant one and Nugget was the smaller one, and they fought a little bit.
Very neat to make them into, it'd be really relatable. So how did you create the one that was honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh? How did you go about making it?
I kind of thought about their origin story for a while. In fact, I started writing it not in comic book form, but just in book form. But I never did finish it. So I figured, hey, I could do that again. So I kind of had it mapped out in my head, although I kind of need to actually get it on paper.
The storyboard. And then did you do the drawings on a tablet? Were they freehand, or how did you create those?
So during the summer, I had a comic class, and they gave us at the library, and they gave us these really cool materials. Like, they were, I don't know if you've heard of, like, the blue pencil, like photo blue pencil. Like, they draw it, and then when you scan it, you can't see it.
Yeah, those, I'm really happy to hear the very light blue, right?
Yeah.
is kind of it is invisible to photocopiers and scanners. I was looking all over for one of those the other day and couldn't. I thought I had one and I couldn't find it. So that would let you sort of draw outlines or places. And how did you make the actual photos that you did want to appear, or the art that you did want to appear?
Really, I should have just taken a regular pencil and drawn it first. But I didn't do that. I used a pen. Fortunately, I had a whiteout. What little whiteout pen, so I could, if I made a mistake, I could easily erase it.
Well, it's cool to be able to do that all freehand. And you mentioned you're a music major at Kappa. What do you play?
We play a lot of orchestra pieces.
What's your instrument?
Violin.
Well, you're really multi-talented. Do you have thoughts for what you want to do after high school?
I really don't know.
It's a little early to figure that out. Well, Rocco, you wrote a string quartet in F minor, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that's written a string quartet. I don't even know how you start. Tell me why you chose to do this and a bit about the process.
Yeah. So, one of the things me and Lucci have in common is we're both violinists, and we both did the instrumental music program there. So I have a lot of those kind of influences as well. But as a string player, I've always kind of just been fascinated by the dynamic between all the different string instruments in a piece like that, and how they all, you know, they play off of each other, but they also all have to do their own individual things. It's no fun if everybody's playing the same line, you know. And so, you know, I listen to a lot of that and I consume a lot of that kind of thing in my free time. And so just for fun, sometimes I'll mess around I use music software called MuseScore, a free software that I found online. And so sometimes I'll just mess around with that, and oftentimes, at least with my workflow, I like to create lots of these little moments, these little pieces where I'll say, okay, this sounds really good. I like how this, like, isolated thing sounds. And then I'll go off and I'll write something else, but then I'll have all these little pieces. And sometimes they're all, you know, contained within a single key signature. Sometimes they're just, you know, whatever. But I'll go back to them later and I'll say, ooh, this would work really well with this piece that I did.
How many measures are these pieces? I mean, I'm sure they vary, but are you talking like 8 measures or?
Yeah, it just depends. Sometimes it'll be like a little 8-measure phrase that I put together. Sometimes it'll be like this, like, you know, like a page of music that I'll just sort of have and think, oh, well, this will be good to come back to someday.
That's fascinating. So you've got these blocks of music, and then you compose using the blocks or bridging the blocks. And that sounds to me like a way you will not lose sight of something that comes into your head that you don't want to lose sight of, yet you also don't have to use it immediately too. You don't have the pressure of using it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about this kind of method that I, not obviously I haven't come up with, but I sort of take advantage of, is that I'll, you know, I'll hum a melody to myself in the shower and I'll go, that's great. And if I remember it in time to, you know, by the time I get to my computer, I'm able to write that down, you know, mess around with it a little bit. And then I can say, okay, I'm going to put this in my back pocket for later.
That's amazing. August Wilson used a similar method in writing his plays. He would hang out at places, and when he heard people saying something that he thought was particularly just a neat way of expressing something, he would jot it down. And my understanding is he sort of either filed them or tacked them up on a wall, but he would use those phrases in some of his plays as just a way to get the dialogue to be very authentic.
Wow.
And I've never heard anybody composing the way you just described. So what motivated you to do the string quartet?
I mean, I don't know. It's a combination of factors, you know, mainly because I play one of the instruments that would be, you know, sort of contained within one.
Yeah. So what parts are in the quartet you wrote?
For this, I used just a typical string quartet sort of arrangement. So there's two violins, a viola, and a cello.
And I have no idea how you would create a score. Do you start with one of the violins and then write what should come along with them, or what's that process like?
For me, at least, it varies often. Sometimes I do start with one line and I'll write like this, just a standard, like a melody that I'll try to go along and harmonize with the rest of the instruments. Sometimes I'll have this like chord in mind and I'll structure this whole section around a specific sort of harmonic sound. I find myself often doing that more, where I'll have this progression of chords that I really like, that I say, okay, this would sound really good if I use these to sort of, you know, and I play it around with this sort of this feeling.
Do you ever have trouble getting the sound out of your head and onto the staff?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of my biggest struggles sometimes, is just actually getting it out of my head and knowing, okay, I can hear it, but where is it? Where does this go on the staff here? You know?
Yeah, how do I make that happen? Lucia, I'm curious, have you played this string quartet piece? I know you're a violinist. Were you involved in playing it at all?
No, I have not played any of his pieces, so I might want to someday.
Yeah. So you recorded this piece?
So for this, unfortunately, I didn't. The recording that I submitted was just a straight MIDI recording, where, you know, I messed around with some of the mixing and mastering of the instruments sound directly in the software, but I didn't mess with it too much.
Yeah, that's a demo type of way of approaching it. You may be familiar with MIDI as you're listening, but it's musical instrument, digital interface. It's almost like a synthesizer, except usually the notes are very authentic, so you can create something almost as good.
Yeah,
it's live music for demo purposes. That had to be a lot of fun. And Muse score. That's
yeah,
one I
Muse score.
I haven't heard of. I'm going to look for that. I know of a few others. Have you done other things like this and composition wise?
Yeah, I So this isn't the first quartet piece that I've written. I've done several just over the past several years. Obviously, you know, not necessarily the greatest pieces, but, you know, I've been working on sort of my craft, I guess, is a way to put it. I submitted a piece last year, I want to say another string quartet, and I think I also placed that year as well. So definitely not the first piece.
If you're just joining us, that's the voice of Rocco Tobel, who is here, and his sister is here too, Lucia Tobel. They're 18 and 13 respectively, and in addition to being siblings, they have in common the honor of being honored by Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh in its Teen Media Awards. Rocco created a string quartet, and Lucia created Cookie and Nugget. I was looking for their names. A comic book starring the hamsters Cookie and Nugget. You're both very creative people, and I'm curious, it might be hard to put into words, how do you practice your creativity or make sure that that spark stays with you? I don't know if that's answerable, but there are some people who are wondering, where are you getting your ideas? How are you keeping track of them? Rocco kind of answered it a little bit, is that he's paying attention to his thoughts as they come to him. Lucia, do you have any secrets or ways that you try to make sure you just leverage your original thinking when you can?
I have a pretty wild imagination, so it's not really that hard to come up with ideas.
So you can just sort of see something? Do you get inspiration from anything in particular? Well, obviously the hamsters.
Well, yeah, the hamsters, and not really anything in particular. I do a lot of drawing on assignment worksheets. I do a lot of cats. I'm sure my teachers are like, what the heck is this?
With all the cats? Do you have cats?
No, we have the guinea pigs.
Just the guinea pigs. Or not just the guinea pigs. The guinea pigs are fine. I shouldn't say just the guinea pigs. Solely the guinea pigs. Do you have advice for people that wish they were as creative as you are?
Keep drawing. Keep writing. Get wild ideas. Get them down on paper.
Just keep going. And would you say similar, Rocco? It might not be music. It could be any creative endeavor.
Yeah, definitely. Just trying to sort of get it on paper and having that, I think, is very, at least for me, very crucial in my process.
Oh, excellent. And you chose not to study music. Yeah, at least you're still trying to figure it out. Do you have other thoughts about majors? Freshman year, it's so hard.
Yeah, and I'm trying with my classes at least to sort of keep an open mind, try a lot of little things, see what sticks. Took an intro to dramatic arts class this semester, and I found that to be kind of, you know, interesting, because that's not something I studied at Kappa.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's really fun to have both of you here. And is there anything else either of you would like to say that I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
Nope.
Not particularly.
Well, thank you. Just terrific to have you both here. And you can learn more about their work at the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh Teen Media Awards website. CarnegieLibrary.org is the starting point to go to their website. Rocco and Lucia Tobel here, and the Tobel family, I'm sure, is really proud of both of you. We'll be talking more in just a moment. Handmade Arcade has a Youth Maker Accelerator, and we have some members of that program. Eva Cassidy at the Saturday Light Brigade, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Say, I found that recipe for orange cocoa cakes. Oh, Joni, get a pencil quick, because can you believe I'm by myself? Al's at work, the kids are out there playing house. All three of them, they're all out on the deck. 1/2 cup unsweetened cocoa, 1/2 cup of boiling water, 1/4 cup of butter, and 1/4 cup of shortening, 2 cups sugar, 1/8 teaspoon salt, teaspoon of vanilla, 1 1/2 teaspoons baking soda. Excuse me just a sec. I'm right over here. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk to Joni. 2 eggs, Joni, David, David, crackers, dear, not malted milk. While's in the cupboard, Joni, 1 cup buttermilk or sour milk. 1 3/4 cups unsifted ring bologna in the fridge. Unsifted general purpose, David, did you really check? 1 3/4 cups unsifted general purpose flour, Joni. There, I finally got it out. Okay, David, malted milk balls only 5, though. 3/4 teaspoon grated orange peel, 1/4 teaspoon orange extract. Uh-oh, excuse me just a sec. Liz, Ben, I'm here in the den. Would you like some crackers and bologna? Are you having fun? Don't get too much sun. Please excuse me while I talk to Joni. Joni, 1 1/8 teaspoon of Lizzie. What's the matter, dear? Baking soda, Joni. Lizzie, don't hit Benji, that's uncalled for. That's okay, Ben. Joni, 3 more tablespoons of buttermilk or sour milk. Oh, come here, Liz, what's that on your neck? Now don't worry, Liz, it's only one real tiny tick. Someone, David, go and get the tweezers. Joni, maybe in the bathroom. Joni, maybe we should. Ben, don't cry, have 1 more malted milk ball. Lizzie, Mom will be right there, but excuse me just a sec. Really gotta go, Joan, see about a tick. We're gonna have a party with the neighborhood kids. Then Lizzie has to go to an appointment at 11, and I'm taking Benji too because we have to buy a costume. He's in a play tomorrow over at the church. Isn't it tomorrow, Benji? Benji, where'd you go? Lizzie, isn't Benji gonna play a piece of pie tomorrow? I remember now, a pumpkin pie. Lizzie can't go, there's a party in the park for all the people with cats. Well, you know she gotta go to that. And Daddy gotta take her in the kitty and the Chevy. After that, we have to reconnoiter over at the big boy. Gotta go, Joan, by the way, did you ever reconsider getting married, having children of your own? Turn the television down, your mother's on the telephone. Call you back, Joan, toodaloo.
Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer at the Saturday Light Brigade. And I thought of that song for Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe you were seeking a recipe from somebody or providing one to somebody else. Handmade Arcade has been a landmark event in the Pittsburgh area for a long time, actually in many ways ahead of the maker movement's popularity. People have been making things for years, but Handmade Arcade began to celebrate making early on. And recently, they added a Youth Makers program. And we're going to talk to two people that have taken part in this program. It's called the Handmade Arcade Youth Maker Accelerator Program. And we had two people last week from that program and a couple others this week that you'll get a chance to meet.
Assemble joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Assemble is a nonprofit organization and community space for arts and technology education located in Pittsburgh's Garfield neighborhood. Assemble works to build confidence through making by creating approachable opportunities for learners of all ages to engage with science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics-based activities. Information on Assemble programs and opportunities is available at assemblepgh.org.
Giving Tuesday is this coming Tuesday, and we hope you'll consider supporting nonprofit organizations whose work is meaningful to you. And one organization is ours. We take part in Giving Tuesday. In fact, it's become the kickoff to our annual donor drive. One time during the year when we hope that you'll either make a renewed contribution to SLB, or maybe you'll make a first-time contribution. It's easy, and your support helps fund programs at our Youth Media Center, oral history programs, and the Saturday Light Brigade itself. You can learn more about Giving Tuesday at givebigpittsburgh.com. And if you would like to get a head start, the Give Big Pittsburgh site is not operating yet. It doesn't open until this Tuesday. But you can get a start with SLB anytime by going to slbradio.org/donate.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from individual listeners like you, who believe that great live radio makes a difference in daily life and in our community. Information on how you can support the Saturday Light Brigade is available at slbradio.org/donate.
And thank you for your support. It's time. It's time to meet our two youth makers that are here with us. I've talked to them just a little bit off the air, but not too much, because I wanted to get to know them at the same time you are. So, Mercedes, we're going to start with you. If you could just please introduce yourself, let us know a little bit, you know, your age, your community, where you are in life right now. It would be good to just set the scene so people get a sense of who you are.
Yes, of course. Good morning, everybody. I'm Mercedes Montano. I'm 19 years old. I graduated in 2024 from Environmental Charter High School, and I'm now in Wilkinsburg, PA. That's where I create all my great things. So yeah, good morning. Good to be here today.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. And I mentioned earlier off the air to you that Monica in Wilkinsburg says hello to you, and I believe she's listening now. And sitting right to your left is Bahati. Good morning. I'll let you please introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bahati. I'm a senior at Brescia High School, and I'm a visual artist.
And you're a visual artist, you
yes.
said? Excellent. Is there anybody you would like to say hello to or give a shout out to?
Myself. Oh. I don't have anybody.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Now, both of you are primarily visual artists, I believe.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And that always fascinates me, because I love beautiful art to look at. I am amazed by people who have the capacity to actually make it. And I'd like to start with you, Mercedes, again. You do screen printing, is that correct? Tell me how you developed a passion for doing that. I imagine you tried a lot of different things before focusing on screen printing. Kind of take us through the timeline of how things went for you.
Yeah, well, to start, I've always loved art, and I definitely, my grandma, she's a big art and crafter, so she got me into art from a very early age, and then from there, I've just always loved it. So, after graduation, my aunt, Monica Garcia, who's listening, she pushed me to do a program in Wilkinsburg with a different youth maker accelerator program type of thing with Meshwork Press, who's no longer here with us, but Kiri, who runs Handmade Arcade's Youth Maker program, was doing that. So she reached out to me to join Handmade Arcade's this year. So that's how I got involved with that. And she's the one who introduced me to screen printing after graduation, and I fell in love with it. It was so cool. Like, it's such a simple process, but when you really start to look at all of the steps, it gets really complex in a way. So I loved it. I love that you can wear your design. That's always been something. Expressing myself through clothing has always been something I loved, especially during high school. So yeah, that's how I got into screen printing, was getting those connections and just figuring things out, seeing what I liked.
When I think of screen printing, I usually do think of wearables or maybe tote bags or anything made out of fabric. Do you ever screen onto other surfaces?
I don't think I have. It's just been sweatshirts, t-shirts, and tote bags so far. But I've been trying block printing recently, too. So I block print on bandanas and stuff. It's a lot easier to customize. It's almost like having your own sticker. You can put it wherever you like. It's so cool. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of bandanas recently, which was fun, which is something you can't do with screen printing. So I've been finding all of that out through this big, long, amazing process.
Why can't you do a bandana that way? I never thought about that.
You could, but it wouldn't be, so you have one screen and that's your design, and then you press the ink through the design on the screen. So with a bandana, you would have to like keep moving it and then wait for it to cure and then move it again, wait for it to cure. With block printing, it's like a stamp, so you just place it wherever you would like on the bandana. And
I got it.
It's a, more of a time thing than like a...
So it's partly just the size. The bandana being so small that makes it hard to do that movement across?
Yes.
I love, like I said, I don't think I could ever make something like this, but I'm always fascinated by it. Now, those movements are to get different colors together. Like if you were making a t-shirt of multiple colors, you would have to screen different layers atop each other?
Yes. Unless, if you didn't want the colors to combine, you would have to make, like, screen it with different, like, screens. And you'd have to change it each time, depending on your screen printing machine. But the one I use, we'd have to, like, change out the screen and clean it each time we wanted to do different layers.
There's a lot to think about. As you do this, one other thing I was wondering is, do people come to you with designs they would like you, like logos and things, or do you primarily come up with your own designs to sell to people?
Hopefully one day. I mean, custom orders would be amazing. I haven't had that yet, besides like cousins giving me ideas and like, this would be cool type of thing, which I love to take into consideration because family is a huge thing for me. But yeah, so far it's just been my own designs and things I've come up with and thought, this is cute, I love this. And my brand's really about like cute things that also have like some edge to it. So I love everything of that nature. So yeah, I make all of my designs currently, but I'd love to do custom orders in the future, so if you're interested.
I would think custom orders would be really hard to get right.
Yes, for sure.
Now, Bahati is also here with us. It's Bahati Wilanja. I hope I have that correct. And yeah. Bahati, you paint. Now, painting is a very wide category. Tell me a little bit about the technique that you use and what your painting, what your paintings are like.
So I started with listing ideas. Then I will start with sketching. Then after sketching on canvas, then I will start painting.
And do you use oil paint or
acrylic?
What kind? Acrylic?
Yeah.
And what ideas your paintings focus on? A particular are they people or things, or what do you end up liking to paint?
I kind of do all of them, but most of them are like for people, of peoples.
And a lot of times artists like you will want to focus on people doing something or people who live in a particular area or almost part of a theme. Is there anything that connects the paintings that you do?
I think a lot of them are just people posing or doing something. Yeah.
Are they real people? Are you doing portraiture at all? Or are they primarily people that you're imagining? And
there's some people and imagination too.
That sounds amazing. When did you start painting? You're 17 now. Were you painting when you were younger?
I started painting like in I started drawing in like third grade, but I started painting last year.
Just last year?
Yeah.
How did you learn
painting? I think I was just looking like videos on internet, like on YouTube.
So you were able to learn that way. What? And if this may be hard to answer, but why did you want to learn how to paint? It sounds like you always enjoyed drawing and bringing these people to life, but suddenly you got pretty suddenly interested in actually painting. Was there a reason that drew you to that?
I has always been wanting to paint, but I didn't have materials, so then I started last year because my mom was able to support with me.
Oh, that's great. You both mentioned your moms as supporting your work, so finally you were able to get your hands on canvas and paint and brushes and a connection to the videos you mentioned to achieve a dream that you had. I'm curious, Mercedes, do you have any questions of Bahati? You two know each other a little bit, but it's fascinating to me how Bahati, you have different crafts, but you both were inspired by your moms, which I think is great. But do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
I can think of one, but I just have to say Bahati's paintings are amazing, especially for her just starting a year ago. Like, her paintings are so amazing. Something that's really interesting to me, though, have you tried any other, like, paint style, like oils or anything like that, watercolor? Are you interested in that? What are your thoughts on that?
I've tried watercolor and oil, but I was more interested in acrylic because it dries faster.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, oil takes a long, long time to dry. Will you both be selling paintings and screened items at Handmade Arcade?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
And what have you learned about how to do that? The accelerator program, Mercedes mentioned establishing a brand. There's also figuring out how much you should charge for these things, I'd imagine. Yeah. So what have they taught you about these sorts of things?
We were actually just talking about that outside, like off air. But yeah, I think one of the biggest takeaways that Kiri mentioned to us, Kiri's the one who runs the program, was like not... like knowing your worth, knowing what your art is worth, and then also makers that are doing your same type of medium, like what they're worth as well, and what, like, you don't want to undercharge because of that reason, because of other makers. You don't want them to feel like they have to undercharge. So yeah, it's a really, I think for me, it's easier because I can look at other t-shirts that are similar to mine with similar designs. But yeah, I was asking Bahati about that. Because I feel like with paintings, that will be hard because each one is so different. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I think we might all have a natural tendency to undervalue the work that we do, too. And it's not just the time you put into it, but it's the ideas that you and you alone come up with. Now, will you be at the holiday market for Handmade Arcade?
Yes, for sure.
That's terrific. If you go to handmadearcade.org, you can find the dates for the upcoming holiday market. I might have those. I'm sure I've got them somewhere. I can mention them, unless you know them offhand. It's at the Lawrence Convention Center.
Not the exact dates, but next Friday and Saturday is our big day because it's all day. There's the early risers in the morning, and then Saturday is the main day for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the holiday market. It's December 5th and 6th, 2025. This is a Pittsburgh nonprofit. It's been 20 years. I remember the very first one.
Really?
And I'm so glad that these programs are still continuing. Handmadearcade.org is how you can learn more about them. Do your booths have names, or will you all be at a Youth Maker booth together? How can people find you?
My branding name is BHT Art, so you can find me there.
BHT Art.
Yeah.
That's easy to remember. BHT Art. Those are the consonants in your first name, Bahati. And what about you?
For me, my brand name is Skull Baby. I will be selling clothing, accessories, and I'm launching my press-on nails as well. And you can find me at Handmade Arcade, of course, and also on Instagram at SkullBabyPGH.
And that skull is in above your neck?
Yes.
S-K-U-L-L Baby PGH?
Yes, correct.
Excellent. Anything else either of you would like to say in our remaining moments?
Thank you for inviting us.
It's a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And you're about to graduate from Brashear this year. Do you know what you want to do after you graduate?
Interior designing.
Fascinating. What got you into that?
I think it's because I'm already doing art, so I wanted to contribute my art into interior designing.
Well, that's terrific. Good luck to both of you at Handmade Arcade.
Thank
you for being here this morning. But thank you. Weren't those two fascinating people? I want you to know, no matter where you live, if you walk down the street, you see somebody, 17, 19, that could be Bahati, the painter you heard, and somebody working to enter the field of interior design, or Mercedes, the screen printer. And it's you never know what's inside of somebody and what they're thinking of doing or getting involved with. And I hope as you meet people over the radio, it'll inspire you to the kind of people you might meet directly or come into contact with without even knowing it. Handmade Arcade is coming up next week, as we mentioned, December 5th and 6th. That's when Handmade Arcade will be. Now, coming up in just a few moments, you are going to hear members of the Opus 2 Orchestra. We also are going to talk with Barbara Burgess Lefevre of the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts about their upcoming production of It's a Wonderful Life.
I want some seafood, mama.
I want some seafood, mama.
Shoot, shoot to Broadway, food, Cincinnati. Don't get icky with the 1, 2, 3. Life is just so fine on the solid side of the line. So hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Put a racket back, I want some seafood, mama. Shrimpers and rice, they're very nice.
Waller at the Saturday Light Brigade, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, and Todd Trosky. This is Larry Berger, the Opus 2 Orchestra, coming up in just a few moments. This is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT, Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache, Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, WKYW LP, Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org and slbradio.org/radio. And in just a moment, we are going to talk with the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts about their upcoming production of It's a Wonderful Life. And then the Opus 2 Orchestra.
He was walking up and down Broadway.
I was looking.
Had an eye for a swell cafe.
I was hungry.
He was sounding for a bite to munch.
I found a spot.
He took a table at the merchant's lunch.
On the merchant's lunch, it was an ocean of gloom.
It looked like half past midnight in the afternoon. Down by the bar,
a rat-faced manager was pouring suds
for the boys.
Railways, cowboys, and their Goodwill duds.
And the girls.
A pedal pushing pinball queens,
chewing gum,
in sweaty combat at the wizard machine.
But the queen of them all, looking big as a fort,
was Broadway Brenda and her derelict court. I ordered a blue plate special and peered out through the room just to see what class of citizens inhabited